And clearly one of those you just mentioned is the iPlayer. How much does that cost to develop, bearing in mind that not all the costs may be in 1 year?
I think I'd prefer that Zarin gave information on those.
How much does it cost to develop the iPlayer?
I don't have the figures to hand, but I believe there was somewhere in the region of 20 million all told over the last 2 or 3 years, but I don't have that exact information.
Could you send us the figure?
Of course. Yes.
And how long has it taken to develop in all?
You'll understand, of course, that only a subset of that cost comes under the category of procurement.
Yeah.
In, for example, staff costs of BBC staff is not included in the category of procurement.
So there are the iPlayer cost may actually be considerably more than that, but
figure,
some of it will be procurement.
I didn't think, of course, it's in
the total cost
the total
of the iPlayer,
of which only a portion will be procured.
Will be additional. What was the cost of making the iPlayer generally, well, partially interoperable? Because that was an additional cost, wasn't it, incurred during this year? I mean, initially it was only working on Windows XP via Internet Explorer. I believe, having tried, I believe I can now get it to work on my Mac, is the case.
For some things, anyway.
I can't download.
It should be working on your Mac if it isn't.
It should be.
I can pop round and have a look.
interestingly enough, I did try on the House of Commons Windows computer and it crashed, but that's possibly a separate issue, yeah.
Maybe a problem at your end, who knows.
Yeah, indeed so.
But the plan with the iPlayer was always to make it as widely available across different platforms as we could. And, you know, the main consumer launch of the iPlayer, which happened on Christmas Day, when we actually launched it to the public fully...
So it was planned expenditure, nothing to do with the protests that were voiced at the time.
To be honest, people feared that the BBC might be planning a sort of cozy and exclusive relationship with Microsoft. It was always planned. It was a requirement of the BBC Trust. But to be honest, it was always the management's plan that this product would be available to people using different systems.
I had nothing to do with the fact that your group controller of future media technology actually came from Microsoft and was hired from Microsoft.
It was a condition of approval by the BBC Trust that the full availability through different systems should be accelerated.
What was true is that some of the initial consumer tests were available only for use in the Microsoft Windows and media player environment. But that was at the as we're testing stage. It's absolutely core to the BBC that we make our services as universally available as possible, and that absolutely in the context of the web includes the availability of services on different platforms.
So at what stage would we be able to fully download and stream to a Mac or a Linux computer?
You can do that now.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Why in a sense did you develop your own piece of kit? Because there are actually things you couldn't procure. I mean, BT Vision is one product, BitTorrent is another, which are both developed and fully interoperable, as I understand. Why go to all the trouble of procuring your own system, which in a sense you could have bought off the peg?
Well, but again, the iPlayer, the application of the iPlayer, the client application, and the way programming media files are both encoded and transported from server to client is not a bespoke BBC creation. It itself is
standards elsewhere actually better, aren't they?
It's an assembly of existing pieces of technology.
Yeah.
We've packaged some different pieces of technology, but it's not as if we've gone out and invented our own peer-to-peer or digital rights management systems. These have been packaged up. A significant part of the cost of the iPlayer is to do something rather different, which is the nature of this application, and if you like, the promise of the application is that people will be able to catch up on.
There's
a substantive point coming. Re-engineering the BBC itself such that automatically we can get hundreds and hundreds of hours of television, and indeed alongside our existing radio on-demand services, encoded, available to be downloaded with all their rights cleared and all the rest of it, has meant getting dozens of different existing systems to talk to each other. So a significant part of the development challenge and of the cost of iPlayer has been around organising an end-to-end digital delivery of the content to iPlayer. In some ways, the easiest part of the exercise has been the business of... Nobody anywhere in the world has tried to offer so much content so quickly in real time to the public. What's unusual about the iPlayer is not the functionality of being able to download programs, it's about the sheer quantity and the fact that it refreshes every day. And it's been, if you like, the back office side of the content delivery, which has been a large part of both the technological challenge and also a significant part of the cost.
But can you not understand the view that you spend 20 million, clearly much more than that, on developing this piece of apparatus and application, which, when it downloads the marvellous content of the BBC, can't even tell me how much I've downloaded in terms of megabytes and so on, can it?
Well, we've decided to keep the user interface.
I mean, BitTorrent can tell me how much I've downloaded. The BBC can't tell me.
Well, to be honest, what we've chosen to offer a user interface which is very simple, very clear, and which, if I may put it the other way, is not going to put off people because it offers vast amounts of complex information about megabitage and streaming rates and all the rest of it. If you go onto the iPlayer right now, in two or three clicks, you can be watching Sense and Sensibility. And what we're seeing, about a million people have already tried iPlayer. It's been launched only since Christmas Day.
But in two or three clicks, I could be exceeding the limit on my broadband connection, and I wouldn't know. So in a sense, you develop a piece of an application which is of limited use to the consumer, and spent an appreciable amount of money on it.
Well, I'm not going to suggest that we're not going to continue to develop the iPlayer and to listen to our audiences about ways in which we can improve it. And clearly, it will not be difficult for us to, if it's not already there, to include in the interface people who want it, information about the use of bandwidth and streaming rates and so forth for those who want it. But to be honest, all of the evidence about iPlayer in its first days, and in the first week, its day-to-day growth was growing at about 20% per day. All of the evidence we've had and the feedback we've had is that consumers are enormously enjoying using the iPlayer. As I say, around a million people in this country have tried it already, and we're, a fortnight into its launch. It's growing very strongly. It's very simple and easy to use. And I have to say, I think so far, it's got off to a very good start.